listening to Bleep Podcast 002. Steve Nolan, and later on I'll be joined by my partner and fellow DJ, Sam Willis. We're going to be with you every second week of the month now, bringing you a mix of all that's good and old and new in the Bleep Archive. We started off there with Baconor and Open Beg Mark II, which is a special place in our hearts because it was the very first song that was played on the LALA podcast, which started 4 years ago. For those of you unfamiliar with that, it's basically a weekly podcast made up of mixes made by ourselves and by guests that we invite. It's kind of like our little virtual club. It's always been our ambition to create more of a good listening experience rather than a banging mix, and that's an ambition we're going to carry on in these shows for Bleep. We will be playing lots of different varieties of music, obviously a lot of electronic and some left field rock, indie, basically stuff that just has its rightful home at Bleep. I'll try and keep the talking to a minimum, as I'm sure you don't need to hear all my umming and ahhing, but the format of the show will basically be, we'll do a half hour mix and a couple of other tunes thrown in, and also Sam will be out talking to some of the people that have influenced us or some of our favourite artists and just chewing the cud with them. This month he's starting with Border Community's Luke Abbott, whose work we love and indeed have released on our label Amazing Sounds. Luke will be talking about his new album, Holcomb Drones, so stay tuned for that. Anyway, on with the mix. This month's one is kind of an overview of the stuff that we're into at the moment and in the past. It's fairly laid back, it's a nice introduction, and it gives a good representation about what we're about. But anyway, as I say, less flannel, more mix.
Was an experiment. I'm in the center of the woods. saying? The DJ fucked up my vibe last night. What did they play? Not enough techno. Roll with my style. For sure, sensational, aka amazing. Known originating. Track is hot in the disco. Puerto Rico, you know how this go by now. Things is twist, bliss, massive mix. So it's bump. And yo, sis, act the boom bass promotion. I coast, see, you can catch my style in a hot spot. My last show was in Germany because it hurried me. Blend with Sam, sensational. I rock like this, it's ahead again. Get accustomed to the fall, through the microphone with the groove. Ooh. I blow a heavy cheese like a gimmick. Beat myself twice, for the beat and the rhyme I wrote. Mixing with the flavor, this is a scorcher from torture. Smashing your system, the zone is bumping beats. Catch the rhythm, big ol' jiggle. Totally smoke the microphone, sensational. Do it like this.
Open ball, and we in the mix. Party jumping, aim hitting. Get it bumping a lot. Chicky buds in the Dutch on steam. My rhyme style gleam. I'm hitting on this track. Soaking the party, everybody. I'm a movie on the popcorn. Popping, popping the dance. That's rocking. Caught the rhythm style from Bliss. We bouncing Bliss. We just spun the heavy. The zone's fly style ready. It's on already. I'm pulling to the mix. Always done that way. My trademark, leave a spark. My orders roll to the boom. Got it fall off the spot. Blazing the pot. Picking up the buzz from the beat bumping. That's what's happening. Smashing your system. This is a scorcher from torture. Smashing the system. Airwaves ID. I swing in the jungle with Baby Bam. Mike G and Sammy B. My rhythm is a blizzard. I'm in the zone daily. Get around with that NYC. I structure perfect. Pump them Dutchess. It's crazy spliss, baby. On a new jazz, even romantic groove. I'm natural, make it snappy. The speed is bouncy. The time is now. Push record and repeat what I say. That's the only time you sound like a low MC. Game when I score, I drop the roll for the rap. On tour, the trash is classic. We'll be right back.
finished off there with Mickey Moonlight. I won't run through the track list now, but if you head right on over to bleep.com, every single track that's played in this show is there, along with handy links on how you can buy the tracks. I can definitely recommend picking up the Cologne Tain album. It's a fantastic bit of work. It's kind of a super group made up of Ada, The Fields, The Modernist, to name a few. Really, really brilliant album. Go and get it.
You are now listening to the Bleep Podcast.
Tune. That's One Trip with Red Jack on FCOM from 1996. Okay, it's time for our interview with Luke Abbott, so I'm going to hand over to the other LA in this partnership, Sam Willis, here talking to Luke Abbott.
Luke Abbott's debut album, Holcomb Drones, has been widely acclaimed as one of the records of the year, combining spiraling synth arpeggios with dusty rhythm tracks and pulsing white noise for a deeply personal, emotional trip inside the mind of this Norfolk beat boffin. What inspires you creatively when you're making music?
I don't think I have a good way of explaining it. It's kind of, I think, if anything, that's like the characteristic of how I work is that the process of composition is the thing that's always in question. Like I can't really explain it because I'm still working it out.
Okay, well that's interesting, because is it more a case of during the process of working through the creative process, these tracks come out of it?
Yeah, I mean, like they're not accidents, but they're not conclusions either. They're just kind of points I've got to, if you see what I mean.
So do you feel like your songs are never really finished then, or do you feel like there is a definite sense of?
Well, no, they're finished when you say they're done and you put them on a record. They're finished in that respect, but they're not. I don't know. They're kind of they could have finished in different ways, and they wouldn't be any better or worse for it, or not intentionally anyway. They're just kind of the usually. I mean, usually they've got they're either based around an element which is improvised, or sometimes the whole take will be live, or sometimes it will just be like a study of a particular thing that I'm thinking about.
So Luke, I know at one point you were working quite heavily with generative music, where you were essentially creating melodies through using programs, and I believe it's something that Brian Eno was at one point quite instrumental in bringing about.
But his ideas about generative music and mine are really different. The generative stuff that he makes has this kind of almost utilitarian perspective. Bloom is a really good example. It's generative and it functions in, you know, as something that kind of creates music as you go. It's like his painting thing, where he can make hundreds of millions different versions of the same idea. And I don't even think that I would necessarily call my pathetic attempts at programming fully kind of generative. They're kind of pseudo-generative. But I'm only interested in it as a way of getting to a compositional point that I couldn't have got to in any other way. So like a way of writing something in accidentally on purpose.
Yeah, because I suppose I remember reading something about Kraftwerk saying, you know, essentially playing the studio where they just have loops going round and record it until they found something that that they liked, you know, that essentially, but you know, it was still their decision to take that melody, you know, rather than one of the million other that were cycling through, you know, and to then take that further rather than necessarily kind of creating it, you know, directly from their brain onto a keyboard.
Yeah, that's I like that.
Talking about Brian Eno brings me onto the subject of influences, and are there any particular artists that you feel, I'm sure there's a lot, but in terms of this album specifically, this phase of your creative process, has there been any artists that you feel have influenced the sound of this record, or at least been in the back of your mind when you've been creating the music?
Influenced is a weird thing, because I don't think you necessarily take influences on boards consciously, so it's almost impossible to explain what's influenced you. And also, I mean, I don't try and emulate anyone else's work. In fact, I purposefully try and avoid doing that. It's an impossible question to answer again. But I mean, at the same time, there are people I think of it as taking cues from them. Like there's a lot of the sounds and I suppose production styles on the album use, like, obviously the krautrock kind of connection has been picked up on by a lot of people. It uses that as a kind of reference point, and I suppose borrows certain sonic aesthetics from that as well. But I suppose the way I don't tend to think about music necessarily entirely in kind of those aesthetic terms. So it's difficult to say that I've done that on purpose, because I think that's just more to do with what I'm comfortable with enough, like the sounds I'm comfortable with enough to want to write music with them. But I suppose the thoughts that I have about the music, which are more to do with kind of background structure. I suppose the nearest influence I can think of would probably be Team Diobe. They've kind of been a big influence on the way that I think about the structure of music. But that's a difficult thing to explain. I'm not really sure I'm up to explaining.
So next single is Transporous Alignment, right?
Yes.
So how did that track come about? You know, did you start off working on the computer, or was it on the guitar, or...
That's made mostly on the modular system. I got a module called the QMMG, which is the quad multi-mode gate, which is, it's fantastic, and it distorts in this really kind of you can use it in various different ways, but it does filtering as one of its functions, and the resonance just goes crazy when it starts to self-oscillate. It kind of distorts in a really magical manner. So I just started playing around with that, and the big weird distorted growls that interrupt the rhythm at the beginning are all kind of the QMMG just kind of
going a bit crazy. So it's nice. It's just a nice kind of collection of noises I made on the modular system, and I don't know. It gets surprisingly ravey, I think, and then it has just a nice kind of like a really detuned, woozy chord drone at the end, which is nice.
I guess that's raises the question of timbre and texture, because it seems to me that's something that you're obviously very interested in terms of harmonics and distortion, and you know.
I'm interested in like synthesis, like the idea of synthesizing sound from just a bunch of sound tools, like sound from nothing, as opposed to a recording of the real world, something which isn't of the real world, something which is synthesized into it. You know, well, when I make music, I just the only thing you can be guided by is the sound. So you just have to listen, and if you can just listen and do, and not really think, then you usually end up with something quite interesting. I mean, don't try and explain it to yourself as you're doing it. Just try and be as instinctual as possible. Because I mean, if you try and work to a plan, then you're probably going to miss out on discovering something which was more interesting than your original goal. So it's good not to have any kind of predetermined goals, I think. Just, you know, work in a very non-deterministic, exploratory manner. The hardware equipment I'm most interested in would be the modular system, because it's just so fascinating. You know, you can constantly, it's like a constantly changing instrument. You know, it does so many different jobs. You have to work hard to use it. You know, you have to work hard to use a modular system. So I suppose it's quite cathartic in a way.
So do you have a particular sense of satisfaction from using that one as opposed to others when you create something on it?
I think you can just get more involved with the process. You know, you create this kind of physical map for the sound. I mean, the physicality of it's hugely important. Maybe it's because it's like it's a model of a way of working. It's a non-deterministic instrument. You know, it doesn't tell you how it should be used. It gives you a set of components. You know, it gives you, you know, you have modules. You decide which modules you use and you decide how they work. You get to make more decisions. It makes the process longer, but that's because the process becomes more involved. So you work, you know, it takes more time to work with it, but that time is rewarded with the fact that you allow yourself access to all kinds of areas, compositionally speaking, that you wouldn't usually manage to get to.
Let's talk about Brazil, my personal favourite on the album. I remember you mentioning to me that came from a guitar.
Yeah, it was. I mean, it's the oldest song on the album by far. I think I made it about... Well, I wrote it on guitar probably about 8 or 9 years ago, but then I transcribed it onto the computer, I think, about in 2006 or something. And then I didn't even think any, I didn't, it wasn't even a track I particularly liked that much, but James liked it so much that it kind of found its way onto the album. And yeah, it seems to be that one of the, like, people's favourites. I suppose it's just got a melody that people like in it or something. But yeah, it was written on guitar originally. I was playing around with guitars way before I got interested in electronic music. So yeah.
So will there be any Luke Abbott acoustic tracks in the future?
Probably not. I don't know. There's guitar on Holcomb Drones, but you just wouldn't recognise it as guitar. But it does. I mean, I do use guitar in the studio sometimes, but usually not for sounds that you'd particularly associate with a guitar.
Yeah.
Certainly, there isn't any strumming involved.
But, you know, you mentioned in the past to me that James was a big inspiration in you getting into making kind of, you know, the most recent stuff that you've done in the past few years.
James got me interested in the idea that it was okay to make music, that, you know, it was okay to play in a club, I suppose. Because I was kind of dead against club music or dance music. I kind of grew up thinking of dance music as being this horrible shit thing that I wouldn't want to associate with at all. And I was dead against it, and I was really kind of passionate about performance and playing instruments. So I did that for quite a while. But then before I ever got interested in what James was doing, I was kind of interested in people like Squarepusher. And he was a real eye-opener, because his music's so diverse and playful and interesting. And a lot of the freedom that he has is afforded by the fact that he works by himself. And because he works by himself, you know, he's not going to play a load of instruments. It's impossible. He has to use machines because they offer you certain benefits in terms of how, you know, pragmatically, how you can make as many sounds as you want to make. So, the idea of it opened up. There's a lot of compositionally valuable structures available to you in something as utilitarian as dance music. You can riff upon that. You know, it gives you something to structure your music and something to kick against at the same time. You know, you can make music that's very delinquent, and you can get away with it a lot more if you kind of have this, like a facade of doing something which is very regimented.
So what's next? What are you working on at the moment?
Yeah, me and my friend Phil are working on a side project, building a little very simple synthesizer. The idea started off as building... I wanted to find out about building my own synth module for the modular system. So the aim was originally to do that, but it kind of, as we were working on it, kind of just transformed into something slightly simpler. It's basically just a little instrument that, like a four oscillator synth that drones, but has a touch panel to bleed current from parts of the circuit, to allow you to just kind of bend the pitch of the notes in a way that's very tactile. Like it gives you the idea is that we're going to have this touch surface that you can play like in a very instrumental way, but as soon as you stop touching it, all the oscillators snap back to the pitch or the frequencies that they were at before. So you can tune, I suppose four notes is enough for most useful chords. So you can tune a chord's worth of information but then take all those oscillators and put them into, you know, you could, they're going to be, have individual outputs, so they can all go back into the modular system and become the basis for tones, drum hits or chords if you want. I don't know. Yeah, but a useful little instrument that does something that I don't have already. So
thanks very much to Luke Abbott for that interview. His debut album Holcomb Drones is available now on Border Community. You can check out songs and more information on his upcoming live shows on his MySpace, which is www.myspace.com/Luke Abbott Music. That's Abbott with two B's and two T's.
And that was Luke Abbott from Border Community, whose label mate Nathan Fake I'll be playing with in Amsterdam on the 29th of this month, if anyone's around, down at Melkweg. Hope you can make it down and say hi. Well, that's about it for this month. We'll be back in November, in the second week, as always. But remember, there's a Bleep podcast every week, so go over to bleep.com where they've got all the details on how to subscribe via through iTunes or SoundCloud or Mixcloud. Anyway, hope you've enjoyed the show. We'll just leave you now with this brilliant tune from Colourbox from the 80s, and see you next week. Thanks for listening.